Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Legacy Committee, where every day we make a difference. So today we are going to, just like last week, we have very many pertinent bills to show and present. So we'll get things started right now. We have Representative Bliss. For your bill or for all the bills, there'll be informational bills today only at this point. We have asked that each presentation be no longer than 5 minutes total, with another 5 minutes for committee's questions and answers due to the volume of bills. So we'll try to keep things in tight. Right, Representative Heinzman? Representative Scraba? Representative Lilly? I run a tight ship here. So if you don't need 10 minutes, that's fine. We'll do less. So our first bill today... Oh, we need approval of the minutes first. All right. Moved by Vice Chair Scraba. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Same sign. Motion carries. All right. Our first bill is 2411. Representative Bliss, you are here to present your bill for the White Earth Nation Cultural Center construction funding provided and money appropriated. So, Representative Bliss, for the record, you can introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Bliss. I am introducing House File 2411, and it's $5 million for a White Earth Nation Cultural Center. And since I do have two remote testifiers who are much more qualified to speak on this than I am, I will reserve my time for them.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Bliss. The testifiers that are remote, we have your names here. We have Ms. Lori York from the White Earth Nation Executive Director. She is via Zoom, as Representative Bliss said, and Laura Lee Erickson from the White Earth Nation District 3 Representative. So whomever is ready may proceed.
Good morning, Bujou, Wanak, Quince, and Dejakaj. Hello, my name is Laura Lee Erickson. I'm the White Earth District 3 Representative here in White Earth. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify on House File 2411. White Earth Nation is requesting $5 million for construction on a cultural center on the reservation. So a cultural center would offer a gathering space for intergenerational learning, community events, and a safe place for our Boys and Girls Club. The center would be used to host workshops, drum, dance, gatherings, ceremonies, educational classes, along with creating employment opportunities and an office space to provide wraparound services to the community. We see these services as a proactive approach to prevention, and this facility would be open for all age community members. We have many non-tribal members reaching out to learn about our Anishinaabe culture, which is really important. Our Boys and Girls Club offer multiple programs also for youth development, workforce opportunities, including Boys and Girls Club teen coordinator and a mentorship program. Recently, our youth had the opportunity to share how the Boys and Girls Club has played a role in their personal growth. And the club has not only empowered them, but to help them become mentors to younger youth. And it gave them their first job opportunities, and it helped them build their confidence along with their leadership skills. So on the reservation, our villages are dispersed across. We're really spread out. So while we do have transit services, it can take up the majority of a day to travel between the villages. So many of our community members are single parents and grandparents raising children. So having a center in the community allows services to be brought to the community and then ensure the community members have access to events and the services. So the need for a cultural center on our reservation is urgent and essential for long-term health of our community. It's an investment we see for education, empowerment of our people. So, Miigwech, and thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. And the next we will have, I didn't hear your name, but is it Laura Lee Erickson? Is that the next testifier?
The first one.
Or Laura York, okay. So, Ms. York, you may proceed with your testimony.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lori York, and I'm the Executive Director for White Earth Nation. Thank you for your time today. So the Culture Center would be very beneficial for our community. It's important for our children to have access to language and culture, which helps strengthen their sense of belonging and identity. The opportunity will promote emotional well-being, including a sense of connection, positive self-esteem, and hope for the future. Physical well-being includes promoting physical activities, knowledge and access to traditional foods, and knowledge sharing of healthier lifestyles. Social well-being will provide an opportunity to have meaningful friendships, access to peer support networks, and developing problem-solving skills. Spiritual well-being is met when children have access to their language and cultural resources, learning about respecting all life, including protecting our natural environment and what the responsibility means. There will be teachings on how to be stewards of the land and access to natural medicines and resources. This would help teach responsibility and commitment to the community, which are important skills to have when we're thinking about the workforce development. When our children know their Ojibwe spirit names, they have a sense of belonging, which can deter from gang involvement. When our children know their clan, they understand their responsibility to the community, which can deter from crime. When our children have access to our rites of passage ceremonies, they will learn about safety, self-respect, and respecting others, which helps develop healthy relationships. This may prevent or reduce teen pregnancy, trafficking, and domestic violence. When our children learn about our natural medicines, they will have exposure to healthy coping tools, which can deter from self-medication, which oftentimes leads to chemical dependency and addictions. When our children learn about our natural medicines, or learning about food sovereignty will allow our children to eat healthier and prevent things like diabetes, and can also provide economic opportunities using our natural resources. When our children know their language, they can better understand our history and legends, securing these teachings for future generations. In closing, I would like to mention that I have 18 years of experience working in child welfare, and I wholeheartedly believe that access to language and culture can help prevent delinquency and child protection involvement. Thank you very much for your time and consideration today.
Thank you, Ms. York, for your testimony as well, and Representative Bliss.
Thank you. Just in closing, it's a nice project for the community. One of the things that should be noted here is that Manoman County, which is the heart of the White Earth Indian Reservation, is the highest poverty rate in the state at 21.6% poverty rate in the county. So any help in this area would certainly help with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bliss. Even though you had a closing statement, is there any questions from our committee members? If not, Representative Bliss, thank you for your presentation of the bill.
Thank you.
We'll take it from there. Have a great day. Next up, we got Representative Chris Swazinski. He represents the Marshall area, and he has testifiers Mr. Robert Burns, who's the mayor of Marshall, and Preston Stensrud, who's the park superintendent for the city of Marshall. Welcome, gentlemen, from coming all the way up here from Marshall, joining your favorite state representative of all time.
Yours too, Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Flattery will get you everywhere in this committee. So with that, for the record, you can introduce yourself and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Chair McDonald. Thank you, members of the House Legacy Committee. It's an honor to be before you this morning. And I have House File 1393 as a bill for you guys to consider as something to be included in a future potential legacy bill. House File 1393 is a pretty straightforward ask from the state of Minnesota taxpayers is of $795,000 for the Liberty Park band shell. And with that, I have the mayor from Marshall and the park director as well, and they'll introduce themselves and they'll speak a little bit more in depth about the bill. And thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Mr. Mayor, you may introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Bob Burns. I serve as mayor of the city of Marshall, a position I've held for the past 33 years. With me today also is Preston Stensrud, who is the park superintendent for the city of Marshall. With that, do you want me to proceed with the testimony? Okay, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. As Representative Swazinski has stated, our request is for $795,000 from the Legacy Fund for the replacement of the bandshell in the community of Marshall. The bandshell is a iconic facility in our oldest park in the city, and it serves as the host site for our community band and in Marshall, which we are a small community in southwest Minnesota, but we are the largest community in southwest Minnesota. Our community band is one of just over 30 community bands in the state. So this is the host site for that, as well as a number of other activities be it from theater to other activities throughout the summer months. As I mentioned, this is an iconic facility. It was originally constructed in 1951. It is in danger of collapse at this point because it's structurally unsound. I would like, if it meets with the chair's okay, to turn it then to Mr. Stensrud, who will describe the condition of the facility and the need, and then it will be open for any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Stensrud, you may introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. Preston Stensrud, Park and Recreation Superintendent for the City of Marshall. Thanks for having us today and considering our request. As the Mayor and Chris both touched on, our band shell is currently a wood structure covered with plaster and stucco. Finishing sits along the Redwood River at Liberty Park. 4 years ago, we had a structural report done due to cracking, noticing the surface. So there's a decomposed, the wood is decomposed off the foundation, leading to shifting and possible safety issues. This is very crucial for our parks, not only our parks, but also our community as an outdoor gathering space for performing arts, religious service type stuff, plays, musicals, the community band. We've had weddings, all kinds of outdoor events. And it's right in the heart of downtown at our oldest park. We have made some other improvements to the park right adjacent to the band shell as well, with new restrooms and playgrounds, as well as walking bridges in the area. And it, like I said, it's used almost daily by different groups, but higher events on the weekends throughout the seasonal time that we have, spring, summer, and into fall. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Stensrud. Members, any questions? Co-Chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, are you guys going through the bonding committee for this funding too?
You want to address that?
No.
Representative Swizinski.
Chair McDonald, Representative Vang, no, not at this time.
Representative Vang, or Co-Chair Vang?
No, that is all, thank you.
Very good. Members, any other questions? You have probably a minute left. Well, we'll wrap it up with maybe a wrap-up, or 30 seconds. I think Swizinski can do that pretty good.
Absolutely. Thank you again for your consideration, Chair McDonald, members of the Legacy Committee, and we appreciate your time. So thank you.
Very good. You're very welcome. Mr. Mayor, Mr. Stensrud, thank you for coming. Have a safe trip back to Marshall.
Yes.
Home of Schwann's, or used to be Schwann's. Now it's Yellow or something like that, and now they're not even there anymore.
Schwann's.
Yeah, Schwann's, wood. They have good ice cream. Okay, our next bill author and is Representative
Nash?
Okay. Representative Nash, who has House File 1440, and this is funding provided to commemorate the anniversary of the fall of Saigon, report required and money appropriated. And I think we have some good folks over there on this side that are here to support Representative Nash. Welcome to the committee, all you good folks, and thank you for your service to our country and to your country. We are much gratitude to you. With that, we also have Saya Herr, who is the Executive Director, Council on Asian Pacific Islanders, and that she will be the presenter. So, Representative Nash, please introduce yourself for the committee, and you may start your presentation.
Good morning, Chair McDonald. I am Representative Jim Nash, and I'm here to present House File 1440, to seek appropriations for the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, specifically for Cambodian, Lao, and Vietnamese Minnesotans. And Mr. Chair, if you're a student of history, you know that next month is the actual 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, and want to make sure that we thank the people who fought beside us. The folks in this bill are three of those communities, the Cambodian, Lao, Vietnamese, and I want to make sure we mention the Hmong people who fought alongside of our American service people in that war. This bill seeks to correct something that I really hope was an oversight, that many of the funds that went out in a previous bill did not make it to these communities. And joining me today are members of those communities who have been telling me for the last number of years that they have not had the recognition that they believe that they were owed. They fought alongside of our men and women in uniform. They then were displaced from their homes. They made their way to America. They made their way to Minnesota. And they have woven themselves into the tapestry of Minnesota. And that is something that I think is really worth mentioning. And if you go to any of the events, you'll see just this flourish of great color in the clothing that they wear. That's the same level of color that they have brought to the state of Minnesota. They have invested themselves tremendously in our state. And I think, Mr. Chair, that this is a good thing that we can do to let them know that their state recognizes the sacrifice that they made. Many of the family members of these people died in that war fighting alongside of us, and they went to great lengths to come to the United States and to Minnesota to invest themselves here. So Ms. Herr will go over some of the specifics of how this is done. And for members' edification, there is a letter from the Humanities Center that CEO Kevin Lindsay, who I believe you all know, is very much in support of this bill. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Herr.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Nash. Ms. Herr, you may introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation. And welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair McDonald and Chair Vang and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sia Herr, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans. I'm in my 13th year as Executive Director, and so that just gives you a feel for how long I've been engaging in the various communities that make up Minnesota's API population. Just in a nutshell, our council is a non-cabinet, non-partisan executive branch agency. What that means is that we don't necessarily operate the way the Department of Human Rights or the Department of Human Services would. We were created to advise the legislative branch and the executive branches of government, and in doing so, advocating on behalf of an incredibly diverse community, culturally, linguistically, and as Representative Nash has made it so clear, sociopolitically speaking. So, you know, the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War is not a surprise to anyone, particularly those of us who come from the communities. Since 2022, the council has been in communities conducting painstaking work in anticipation of the 50th anniversary. I'm here this afternoon to testify in support of House File 1440. The Vietnam War, which was truly the Southeast Asian conflict, profoundly impacted the lives of the Cambodian, the Hmong, the Lao, and the Vietnamese, particularly for the generations that fought alongside U.S. forces on the ground in Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia. You may have heard that the 2024 legislature appropriated funds for commemoration events to be available for all of the communities. But the fact is that the resulting competitive grant program, which was administered by the Historical Society, yielded minimal to zero funding for the Cambodian, the Lao, and the Vietnamese communities. This request for $500,000 is an attempt to rectify that situation. And this request is critically important because of the age of the surviving Cambodian, Lao, and Vietnamese veterans. This bill should pass this session. 2025 marks possibly the last opportunity for the state of Minnesota to recognize these veterans and their communities for the sacrifices made in that conflict and for the heroism of the veterans. And so with that, Mr. Chair and members, happy to take questions. On behalf of the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans, please support House File 1440.
Thank you very much, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And once again, you know, the folks that have joined us here today, many of them were actually in country fighting alongside of our servicemen. And I think that that's, as students of history with Representative Olson and many of you, that is something that's incredibly notable that we want to make sure that as the state of Minnesota, we recognize those people who willingly put their lives on the line to come and fight alongside of us. And now that they are here in Minnesota, we want to make sure that they are recognized by name, that they know that the state of Minnesota wants to make an investment in them. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. I hope they all know that you have our deepest gratitude and appreciation with or without a commemorative memorial. You have our dedicated commitment and thanks and appreciation. But we hope that this will continue on and we are able to get this passed. Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be extremely brief. I will just thank Representative Cha and co-chair Vang for the time that we've had and spent talking about this particular project and how important it is. And I would just urge the co-chairs to get this done. Now is the time. And thank all of those that are here today and showing their support for this bill. It's not easy to get to the Capitol and to show up for a hearing. And to your testifier, Representative Nash, this is an effort that we all need to come together and just, you know, it, like I said, it's time. Let's get this done.
Thank you, Representative Heinzman. Co-chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me, I'm still recovering from a cold. I want to thank you, Representative Nash, for bringing this bill forward. First and foremost, as co-chair of the Legacy Committee and as a Hmong sister, I want to personally recognize the Vietnamese veterans for your contributions. Thank you for your sacrifice and thank you for your service. I also want to personally recognize, for the record, the Lao veterans. Thank you for your service. I also want to personally recognize the Cambodian veterans. Thank you for your contributions and thank you for your service. Without the sacrifice of our Vietnamese, Lao, and Cambodian veterans, as children of refugees, we would not be here today. And we all know this hits close to home, as this is my parents' generation, it's our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation. And so it is absolutely important that we continue to honor them. So thank you so much for your sacrifice and your contributions. Without all of you, we probably would not be here in the land of opportunity. Now, in anticipation for the 50th year anniversary, I see here, Representative Nash, that your bill is also very similar to the bills that we passed last year. We know that this year is a big year for us, and so we did pass some funding, as Executive Director Sia Her has mentioned. And so I'm going to read off what we passed last year, the funding that we appropriated, and members, for the public's benefit, the document I'm reading is our conference report. What is current law right now? And so $300,000 is for statewide historical and cultural grants to cultural community organizations, historical organizations, and veteran organizations for the activities to commemorate 50 years of Southeast Asians in Minnesota. Money under this paragraph must be distributed through a competitive grant process. The Minnesota Historical Society must administer the grants using established grant mechanism with the assistance of the advisory committee created under laws such and such. And on top of that, because the Historical Society has gotten a lot more requests, they even used their additional own funding to fund community organizations. So it's on top, in addition of the $300, they use their own funding as well. And then in addition to what we allocated to the History Center, we also added another $150,000, and it's for the 50th anniversary of Vietnam War and Southeast Asian conflict. And this is for a commemoration program in collaboration between the Minnesota Historical Society and the Minnesota Humanities Center for the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War, Secret War, and Laos Southeast Asian conflict that recognizes and honors the contributions of the Vietnamese, Lao, Cambodian, Hmong, and other Minnesota Vietnam veterans. The Minnesota Humanities Center must prepare the program to leverage the unique skill sets and relationships in the four Southeast Asian Minnesotan communities and the broader communities. And this is the work that was passed and funding appropriated done by Chair Leon Lilly, as well as Chair Senator Fong Her in the legacy, worked on this last year. And so the state did recognize our Lao, Cambodian, and Vietnamese sacrifice and the veterans' contribution and gave nearly $500,000 to do this 50th year anniversary. And now, Co-Chair McDonald, I'm very happy to give more money, if you will so entertain this, to our Southeast Asian veterans. I'm definitely happy. Who doesn't want more money, right? And however, I know that this bill also mentions the Council, Asian Pacific Minnesota. I know this bill is worked on with you guys very closely. And usually when councils who feel strongly about a bill or want to advocate a priority. As co-chair of the Legacy Committee, I did not receive any prior communication to this. So I would like to ask Sia Herr, why haven't I received prior communication about your support for this bill?
Ms. Herr.
Or any communication at all.
Chair McDonald, Representative Vang, may I just say for the record that the situation that played out with the Historical Society administered competitive grant program is a lot more nuanced than what Representative Vang just articulated to the committee. I'd be happy to speak with every single one of the members of this committee to explain to you what actually happened in reality. We would never report to our board and to you information that hasn't been verified and re-verified. We are a state agency. We are tasked.
Mr. Chair, due to the limited time, yes. I would like having the testifier to answer the question.
Having
very good,
said
co-chair.
That, Chair McDonald, Representative
Herr, Bain. You may continue, but if you would be brief with in answering her question. Thank you.
Chair McDonald, Representative Vang, to your question about why we haven't consulted with you, again, the answer is it's a long story. We'd be happy to come and talk with you. We'd be happy to meet with every single member of this committee. Some things are better left unsaid. As a state agency, we attempt to represent an incredibly diverse community. You know that just because our communities arrived here in the United States does not mean that they throw away their histories. There's just a lot of dynamics at play, and we as a state agency attempt to find the balance between all of those internal politics and intrapolitics.
Well,
and
thank so you, Mr. Probably- Chair.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Herr. Co-Chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, your answer to my question about why I have not received any communication at all regarding your advocacy for this bill is it's a long story, which doesn't answer the question. And to see that it's your job to work on this in a nonpartisan manner and in advocating for API communities, and the fact that as a member of the legislature, I have not received any communication, I don't know why it's taken you this long to show up in committee and to tell me that this is your state or your advocacy, when a simple letter might be okay, perhaps, not even a letter. Had the council done a better job in working in a nonpartisan manner, we could do even better in creating this bill, which is quite unusual that I've not received any communication at all. But had they done their job, I would probably even help them come up with a better bill, Representative Nash, and this is my question to you. Would you be willing to work with me? Considering that this is a very similar bill where we're grouping, once again, our Southeast Asian community, and to be more clear and thorough about how much of these funding and to probably address the concerns that perhaps some of the community members have been left out, how about let's split up and do perhaps 1, 2, 3, 4 bills, one bill that talks. This is the amount of funding, I don't know, blank number, $100,000 for the Vietnamese veterans, contribution celebration for the Vietnam anniversary. And then a second bill specifically for the Cambodian, $100,000, whatever number that we can agree on, for the Cambodian. And then a third bill for the Lao and a fourth bill for the Hmong. And I think that is a better process and a more clear message to our Southeast Asian community so that they, each community knows exactly how much they're getting. Time is of essence, I guess. This year is the 50th year anniversary already. And so Representative Nash, would you be interested in working with me on making those appropriations clear for our Southeast Asian community?
Co-Chair Vang, in future, please go through the chair. I don't think it's in good nature of our committee to interrupt a testifier without going through the chair. I won't do that to you when you're chairing, and I expect no one in the committee should not go through the chair. That's our decorum that we establish, and it keeps us from running a very good meeting. And that is for the record. Representative Nash, you can answer the question, but
thank you, Mr.
Be
Chair
brief.
And Co-Chair Vang. Of course I will. But the question remains, and I can make sure that we get this distributed. We have the spreadsheet of where those monies were spent. And unfortunately, only the Lao community received a little under $40,000 of that tranche of money that you had just described. But absolutely, I will work with you. And I just want to leave you with this, Mr. Chair, and level set this. These folks over here are here asking to be formally recognized through an investment from the state to make sure that we point to them and say, we recognize that you put your lives on the line, you disrupted your family, and that you are now Minnesotans, and we want to honor your service and honor your investment in our state. I will make sure we get this to you, Mr. Chair, so you can circulate it so that folks can see where that previous tranche of money went. But thank you for your time, committee. And Chair Vang, yes, I will work with you. I'm very approachable, and I know you are as well. So if you want to work together, let's do so that we can appropriately honor the different people who are here in this room today and let them know that we appreciate their service.
Very good, Representative Nash. Our next question comes from Representative Cha. He will be our last question besides the chair.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome to the committee. I just have a couple of questions here.
Representative Cha, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's chair's discretion. If you could limit to maybe one of your most important, unless both are very, very important, for the sake of time. I will take time off of my bill when I'm up there. I'll only go 5 minutes, because we've already gone over 5 minutes on this bill, so I'll sacrifice my time. But just keep that in mind as a little courtesy to me and others that will present their bills.
Thank you, Chair, for that clarification. For the record, I'm the chair of the Minnesota Asian Pacific Caucus of Legislature, which represents 10 of us. My question is to the executive director. I've been elected for 3 years. You have not met with me in the last 3 years. This is the first time I've actually met you in committee. Could you explain to why, as your role as executive director for fair transparency, why this is the first time I've met you?
A very fair question, Ms. Herr.
Chair McDonald, Representative Cha, you may recall that I did meet with you on one occasion. You and I had a one-on-one meeting. I informed you that the 50th anniversary was coming, and then I had a phone conversation with you on the very day that I was sitting with the Lao leaders, including the Lao veterans, talking about what it is they would like to see for the 50th anniversary. So you may not recall that, but I recall those two conversations with you quite distinctly.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Representative Cha. One
really quick
one. I
just have a follow-up. And you know what? It's a long story. Best left unsaid, right? Not acceptable. Here's another comment. API Day in 2024, at the Hill, in the Rotunda, in this house, in this Capitol, there was no API legislator speaking at your API event at the Day of the Hill. Can you explain that for me, please?
Please, briefly, Ms. Herr.
Chair McDonald, Representative Cha, we are the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans. We represent a community that straddles more than 60 countries identified as Asian and Pacific Islander countries. On any given year, we have a theme that speaks to the importance of the issues before our communities. We have the prerogative of identifying which members of the legislature we will invite to speak in that program in that year. If for the committee's purposes, we're happy to provide you with documents that track the previous API days at the Capitol, during which we have invited members of the MAP caucus. We've created programs for API day at the Capitol, during which we have featured the MAP caucus. So to look at us at a moment in time and to be incredibly angry over that, we can understand that, but we simply ask you to remember who we are, how large and how diverse of a community we seek to represent. We are nonpartisan, bipartisan, and we have stuck to that nonpartisan, bipartisan role. And again, we'd be more than happy to provide you with all relevant documents to prove that that is indeed what we did.
Very good, Ms. Herr. We're going to wrap this up, but I just want to interject a little positive note, and I must share this, that in 1975, when the refugees came over from Southeast Asia, Minnesota welcomed folks and took them into their homes, into their schools, including my dad's sisters, my aunts, who are nuns, the McDonald nuns, and they took them into their home, and they taught them, and they fed them, and they clothed them, and they befriended them, and they loved them dearly. And that was from the St. Joseph Crandallay Village nuns. and two of them are still alive today, in which they've had established many friendships and now grandchildren of those refugees. So Minnesota has done some wonderful things to welcome in our beautiful neighbors from Southeast Asia who did so much to help the Vietnam War. Representative Nash, I believe you probably have just a sentence as wrapping up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee. Please make sure that you recognize the investment that the folks that are here in committee with us have made and honor them with some help. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Thank you. Good day. Next will be Representative Van Binsbergen, House File 1459, Greater Litchfield Opera House. But the Opera House again. Haven't we heard that one before the last several years or so? Anyway, as you make your way up to the podium or the testifying table, Representative Van Binsbergen, you can introduce yourself for the record and begin your presentation.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and committee members. Thank you for being willing to hear House File 1459. This bill is in regards to the Opera House in Litchfield, Minnesota. The Opera House opened in 1900s. It's on the Registry of Historic Places. Over the years, it's underwent various uses and changes. In the early 2000s, the Opera House was scheduled to be demolished by the City Council in Litchfield to clear the way for a parking lot. A group of people at that time stepped in to save the Opera House and bring it back to the community center that it once was. This took a lot of work, local money and help from the state of Minnesota. The renovations have been done in stages over the years. It's now nearing its completion. The upstairs balcony in the seating area is still left to be finished. The request of this committee is for $50,000 to finish that work. I do have a testifier today as well, and her name is Karen Erdahl.
Thank you, Representative Van Binsbergen. That's kind of a tongue twister, isn't it? It's like
it is a little bit of a challenge some days.
But I'll get it in a month or two.
I know you will, Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Representative.
We're not all blessed with an easy last name.
I'll say that's for, thank God for that. Well, we have a fabulous testifier, Karen Erdahl. So, Karen, Ms. Erdahl, when you're ready, you may begin your presentation with an introduction of yourself, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Legacy Committee members. My name is Karen Erdahl. And Dean and I have, I guess, our dog Buster also welcoming the committee.
Yeah, tell Dean to get in the camera, would you?
I think he's trying to quiet Buster down. Dean, would you please get in the camera?
Hello there.
Thank you for your time today on House File 1459. And thank you, Representative Van Binsbergen, for your support. On behalf of the board that oversees the 125-year-old Litchfield Opera House, we sincerely thank you for your support during its restoration and renovation. We want you to know that legacy funding support is publicly and permanently acknowledged at the top of the Opera House's donor wall display in the Opera House lobby. The public is excited to have this building restored as a community hub for activities, and enthusiasm continues to grow as the main level of the balcony nears completion. As Representative Van Binsbergen said, to make the balcony area fully functional, the upper balcony needs work on the risers and on other woodworks, on railings, and on seating. Please note that the Opera House Board has been very careful to keep the Opera House's superior acoustics throughout the R&R. To recap, the Litchfield Opera House was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1984. But this grand structure was partitioned into city offices and meeting spaces, then shuttered by the city. From 2003 to 2007, the Litchfield City Council voted several times to raise the building. When the Opera House was saved in 2008 by a group of citizens, they bought it for $100,000 from the city of Litchfield, but paid for it with the 1900 silver dollar, wow, along with the agreement that the balance of the purchase would be put into restoring the building for use by the community. Since then, our 501c3 nonprofit, the Greater Litchfield Opera House Association Incorporated, or GLOA, has vigorously fundraised while conducting restoration and renovation in very thoughtfully planned phases in coordination with the Minnesota Historical Society and the State Historical Preservation Office. GLOHA has raised over $300,000 for memberships and donations, all of it used strictly for R&R. We deeply appreciate the legacy grants awarded to the Opera House. Our board has requested legacy grants during each phase of R&R, so you've had multiple requests from us rather than one larger request amount. And that's because of the time needed to raise money from our members, donors, and other sources. Please note that GLOHA does have an income stream from rentals, but this money is designated for operating expenses such as insurance, property taxes, utilities, and so on. GLOHA has no paid staff, and all board members are volunteers. The lobby has been fully restored to 1900 style when the Opera House was built and became known as the Gem on the Prairie. The main house is being restored to its 1935 style. That portion of the Opera House was remodeled and renamed the Litchfield Community Building. Highlights of completed R&R work include tuck pointing and repair of the brick exterior, replacement of the roof, installation of restrooms, HVAC, refinishing of the 1935 maple flooring, electrical rewiring, windows, woodwork, stage rebuild, stage and window curtains, grand staircases, sound and lighting, balcony flooring, balcony railing, and much more has been achieved. Minnesota Historical Society Director Kent Whitworth visited the Opera House in 2024, which was 5 years after his previous visit, and he was visibly amazed. He described it as, quote, nothing short of a total transformation, unquote. He was very pleased to learn that the Opera House was once again a hub of the community as it was in its early years. Mr. Whitworth said that helping to return it to this role was the Historical Society's intent. In its early years, the Opera House greatly widened rural citizens' horizons long before the days of movie and TVs. Featured entertainment included music, theater, vaudeville shows. The Opera House evolved into a hub for social, educational, political, and other gatherings. After the sloped floor was leveled in 1935, it was used for dances, roller skating, basketball, and more.
Mr. Erdahl?
Inside the Opera House.
Ms. Erdahl?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt you, but we are running out of time, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you could wrap it up, that'd be wonderful.
Okay, this 125th anniversary year is truly a year to celebrate the role and contributions of the Litchfield Opera House to the area.
Thank you, Mr. Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're very welcome. You're very, very welcome. And for those members who may not know, there might be one or two here that don't know that former State Representative Dean Erdahl is on the camera as well. And I've been to this wonderful opera house for their anniversary a couple of years ago. It's a great opera house, Van Winsbergen. And you guys are very fortunate to have it. You're very fortunate to have the kindness of the generosity of the Legacy Committee and the Legacy Foundation to help restore this magnificent structure in Litchfield. Mr. Representative Van Winsbergen, you have the final word.
Thank you, Chair McDonald. And members, I appreciate your consideration to House File 1459. Thank you.
Well, you have 22 seconds left, if anything else.
You really want me to keep going?
No, that's right.
I'll take them.
We do. any other testifiers? Going once? Going twice?
Okay. Dean? Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. We have 2 minutes left for questions. Any questions from members? Representative Van B, we thank you for your bill and their testifiers, Mr. and Mrs. Erdahl. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're very welcome. Next, we have House File 280, Representative Zelenstikar from Lake County Woodworking Program funded, providing, and money appropriated. That sounds like a lot of fun. And you have a testifier, Matthew Hendelson, from Lake County Administrator. He's via Zoom. So, Representative Zalesikar, for the record, once you sit down and gather your paperwork, you can introduce yourself and present your presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. And today's bill is a bill to honor the arts through woodworking in Lake County at Two Harbors in the Depot Area District and the Arts District. And it's to provide materials and intergenerational programming. You know, this has been a gathering area in this woodworking shop that seniors have enjoyed. And we know that we have a 40% increase in mental health. And in smaller communities, it's places like this that you gather for community to have intergenerational programming and to allow so much more than just the project of woodworking. It's camaraderie, it's socialization, it's projects and getting something done for the community. So with that being said, I will defer to and have my testifier explain more on the bill.
Thank you, Representative. You have a testifier, Mr. Matthew Hendelson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chair McDonald and members of the Legacy Finance Committee, as you guys stated, I'm Matthew Huddleston, County Administrator for Lake County. I've had the pleasure for working in Lake County for 20 years now. I'm here today to share an exciting and important initiative in our community that will empower individuals across generations. The Two Harbors Senior Woodshop and Art Center is currently undergoing a revitalization that will create meaningful connections between seniors and students while providing valuable resources to our community. The senior members are committed to mentoring high school students and homeschool students, and through this collaboration, students will have the opportunity to work on hands-on projects in the woodshop, guided by seniors who bring years of craftsmanship and expertise. Additionally, the Arts Center will offer an avenue for students to engage in arts and crafts projects, where seniors will share their knowledge, fostering an enriching mentorship experience. The partnership between seniors and students will not only enhance skills of young individuals, but also create lasting bonds that will strengthen our community. I'm excited for this opportunity of collaboration, creativity, and intergenerational learning. In addition to the educational aspect, the Senior Workshop and Arts Center is embarking on a significant membership drive. They're actively encouraging participation from the residents of Two Harbors and the surrounding area, seeking to expand the network of individuals who share this mission of community building and skill development. To bring this initiative to life, they're asking for your support in securing funding to cover the startup costs for materials and utilities. Financial assistance will be instrumental in enabling them to sustain this project until they begin to see returns from the sale of the various projects the members are creating. These sales will provide a sustainable source of income and contribute to the overall success of their mission. They have received some support. The County Board generously provided a $10,000 donation, which will be consumed by essential expenses like utilities and insurance. Furthermore, the City of Two Harbors has contracted with the group to provide city benches, creating an additional revenue stream to support their efforts. However, they still need your help. The funding we are requesting will ensure they can continue to offer valuable programs, provide membership, mentorship opportunities, and expand their reach. I humbly ask for your consideration and support in helping to continue to build this important resource for both seniors and students. Thank you for your time, your attention, and your public service to the state of Minnesota.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hendelson, and for the presentation. You do have a beautiful area up there in Lake County and Two Harbors. I think you represent one of the most beautiful areas of our state, although it's all beautiful, but safe to say it's a wonderful area. Representative Zalesikar, we have a question from Co-Chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a quick question about how many people is this program serving right now?
Representative.
You know, the group of seniors that have been there, this has been around almost 25 years ago. I was a nursing home administrator in that community. And so there's many seniors. One that I became great friends with, Twig Johnson, that was in his 90s and passed away and was actively involved in that. And so as these seniors are aging out, that's what we want to do, is bring back and get the intergenerational programming going with youth to share the partnership. So it varies, the amount of people. They have the ability to go in on a code, so different numbers go in every week, you know, depending on how people are feeling, you know, with seniors, and if it's how the weather is and all those type of variables. But the point of this whole grant is to allow for intergenerational programming, which I think is a really incredibly important thing for our youth to be passed on skills from our elders and to foster those relationships through programs in the arts and through doing tasks together and to form relationships. So I think that's going to be the goal. And I think that we'll see more different age groups besides just seniors going to this.
Co-Chair Vang. Very good. Other members, questions? Representative Zhang.
Zhang. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is probably not relevant, but Mr. Chair, the bill author, this is your second time presenting, and no Betty's pie, so, you know, we're going to have a conversation.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. I agree. Yeah, what's up? Anything else to say on that, Representative
Zelenskyy? I need to get home so I can bring Betty's pies, and I need to present another bill. So there you go. Fair is fair.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. Yeah, they are some excellent pies, aren't they? Any other questions, members? If not, we will have you wrap it up. I think you are all done, Representative Zelenskyy. Yeah. Thank you for coming to the committee, and we expect a little Betty's pie next week.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for your time. I think it would be a great support for the community.
You're very welcome. Next, we have House File 1259, Representative Burkle. He is presenting a bill that will fund the Minnesota FFA funding provided for a new and expanded access for members involved in art and history. Hey, that's right up this alley. And related FFA activities and money appropriated. Just for the record, before you begin, Representative Burkle, all those who have been in FFA in your younger years, please raise your hand. All right, one, two, three, four, five. AJ? No? Okay. Representative Burkle, for the record, introduce yourself, and you may begin your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative John Burke from District 1A. I'm happy to be here to present it before you, House File 1259. This is a bill that appropriates $350,000 per year for grants to the Minnesota FFA Foundation or Association and the Minnesota FFA Foundation. I'll keep things quick because I think my testifiers really are going to have the best story, but the criteria and oversight of these grants will be created by the Minnesota Department of Ag. So with that, we can take questions when they're done testifying, but I really think their stories are going to resonate with the group about the fabric of FFA and agriculture in our state. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to turn it over to my testifiers.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Burkle. To whomever would like to begin first, you can introduce yourself for the record and begin.
Sounds good. Hello, everybody. Val Arsvold, the Executive Director of the Minnesota FFA Foundation. Chair McDonald, Chair Vang, and fellow committee members, I thank you for this opportunity to share a little bit about our proposal to work a program through the FFA. I have had the privilege of being involved with FFA for nearly 40 years, first as a student, then as an agricultural educator, and now in my current role with the foundation. I'm honored to share a vision that is deeply rooted in Minnesota's history, culture, and future. Our celebration of 100 years of Minnesota FFA. For nearly a century, Minnesota FFA has shaped the lives of young people across the state, preparing them not only for careers in agriculture, but for leadership roles in their communities. It has been a force for good, fostering resilience, innovation, and a deep appreciation for the land that sustains us. As we approach this milestone in 2029, we seek to honor the past and the legacy of those who have come before us and inspire the next generation to move us forward. Agriculture is more than an industry in Minnesota. It's a way of life, a cultural identity, and a source of pride for communities. The stories of young people who have come through the FFA, whether they have become farmers, educators, scientists, or business leaders, are stories of determination, ingenuity, and service. To do this and honor them and to prepare ourselves for the future, we propose to do a multifaceted initiative that blends history, storytelling, and the arts. Through a 100-year book, we will document the evolution of FFA and its impact, capturing personal interviews, photographs, and reflections that might otherwise be lost. This book will serve as an educational resource and a tribute to those who have contributed to Minnesota's agricultural legacy. The Growing Minnesota video storytelling series will bring history to life, featuring multi-generational FFA families, innovations in agriculture, and the voices of young people shaping the future. It will be high-quality content that will allow us to reach people across the state. Finally, an in-person art celebration will unite communities in a one-of-a-kind event that showcases the intersection of agriculture and the arts. Through visual arts, music, spoken word, and student-led performances, we will celebrate the creative spirit that thrives in Minnesota. This initiative directly supports the mission of the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund by preserving Minnesota's agricultural history through storytelling and archival documentation. It promotes arts in our communities by showcasing the talent and creativity of Minnesota's young people and artists. It engages communities statewide in shared cultural experiences that highlights the connection between agriculture, education, and the arts. The project will extend far beyond the celebration itself. The history book will live on in our schools and our libraries and our organization, ensuring that future generations will see the contributions of those involved with Minnesota agriculture. The video series will live on in digital platforms, again, reaching a vast audience. And the in-person event will bring people together in a way that strengthens connections and fosters pride in our shared heritage. Together, we can honor the past, celebrate the future, our present, and inspire the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arsvold. Appreciate your testimony and welcome. And then Ms. Mortensen. You may introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Natasha Mortensen, and I represent the Minnesota FFA Association. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm here to support the House File 1259. At first glance, art and agriculture may seem like two vastly different worlds, one driven by creativity and expression and one by science and labor. But I wish that you would take a close look today at agriculture as a canvas and its caretakers, the farmers, the ranchers, and stewards of the land are its artists. The two are deeply intertwined, shaping our land culture and understanding of the world. FFA is widely recognized for its focus on agriculture, leadership, and education. But many may not realize the rich history in the arts. As we approach the 100th anniversary, historical records show that Minnesota's FFA band and chorus and talent acts were prominently featured at local, state, and national levels, actually mentioned 144 times in our 50-year history book. And most notably in 1940, the National FFA asked Minnesota to provide the 100-piece band, and they traveled all the way to Kansas City. FFA members continue to incorporate art into their advocacy efforts. Public speakers use the power of words to create vivid imagery, generating interest in rural life. In small towns across Minnesota, FFA is more than a student organization. It's a pillar of those communities. Funding arts-focused events ensure that students from all backgrounds can showcase their talents meaningfully. As schools in rural areas face budget constraints, this also allows our FFA members to find ways to express themselves. For FFA members, agriculture is more than an industry. It's a passion, a way of life, and a legacy. They don't just learn about agriculture. They express their love for it through welding, woodworking, floriculture, landscaping, speeches, poetry, talent showcases, and FFA music programs. This investment in FFA arts program will enrich students' educational experiences and strengthen Minnesota's rural communities. Interest in these opportunities is growing from our students. This bill will allow us to create even more opportunities. Creativity shines in FFA from designing banners to fair booths to participating in music and talent competitions. This increases confidence and teamwork skills and leadership skills. Art and agriculture are inseparable, and FFA students prove that every day through their hands-on voices and creativity. They show that agriculture is about more than feeding people. It's about inspiring them. Whether through a painting, a speech, or well-crafted farm gate, FFA students use art to celebrate and advocate for the future of agriculture. I urge you to support this bill in your final legacy omnibus bill to ensure that our FFA students continue to thrive in agriculture. And on a very fast personal note, as a farm kid who was very involved in drama and music, FFA allowed me to figure out a way to use my value of expression in my life in my career world. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mortensen, for your testimony. Representative Chaw.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Burkle, for bringing this forward. As you know, we sat on agriculture together, and, you know, just some things I want to bring up is that the average age of a farmer is 58 years old. And so that's why this program is important, right? The future farmers are America. They are our future. I also want to point out that in terms of production agriculture, Minnesota is the fifth largest in that sector, and that we are the fourth largest exports in agricultural products in the United States of America. These things are important that we recognize our strength and that we continue to support not just the one-third of us who are in the metro and suburbs and whatnot, but all of greater Minnesota because we are state legislators. So thank you, Burkle.
Thank you, Representative Chaw, for that those very important information and sharing with us. Appreciate that. Any members, any other questions at all? I would just like to say before Representative Burkle wraps it up, just we appreciate your to-do list, if you will, of what you're going to do with the funding and the activities throughout the year for the year's 100th year celebration. There's some great great projects here that we can see. So we wish you all the best in celebrating the 100 years. And with that, Representative Burkle, you may wrap it up.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. Thank you to my testifiers for telling this story. Minnesota FFA has a rich, long history in our state and its members with a wide range of opportunities, in this case, the arts. Really happy to be authoring this bill, happy to have my bipartisan co-authors as well, and I believe this is exactly what this legacy fund has been created for. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Burkle. Mm-hmm. Okay, members, I guess I'm going to switch seats. I'm going to go to the testifying table and testify with my bill. So with that, I would ask my one of my favorite vice chairs, Representative Scraba, if you would come to the front, or you can manage from there if you want, but to run the show. Oh, Representative Lilly, did you have something?
Mr. Chair, just quickly, while you're transferring chairs, I just want to, if that's all right.
Yep.
Mr. Chair and members, I on that last bill, the FAA, I noticed that Representative Chaw next to me is one of the co-authors, as am I, but Representative Burkle. And every day you can, he's an expression of art because you can look at his mustache. And you'll never guess what type of cattle he had when he was a rancher. It's pretty easy to figure out.
Champion Longhorns, thank you.
There we go, yeah. Representative McDonald, do you have something to present?
I do, Mr. Chair, thank you. Although I don't have a good mustache like Shaw does. That is the best in the whole legislature. Yes, I have House File 2471. Delano next year will be celebrating a sesquicentennial. That took about a month to just get that word right. And this funding will celebrate a pretty a year-long celebration in the city of Delano, not just in your packets. You'll see maybe in October 2026 is the date, but it's actually going to be all year of 2026. And with that, I have my testifier, good friends from Delano, Ms. Michelle Dierzik, and also Linda Althoff, who's the Delano Chamber of Commerce executive. And Linda, why don't you join us up here as well? And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Please. You want to go first?
Yeah. That'd be
okay, perfect. Please continue.
Yes. Good morning, Chair and members of the House Legacy Committee. My name is Michelle Dierks, and I'm here today representing the City of Delano as Chair of the Sesquicentennial Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify regarding the bill, House Filing 2471, for funding to celebrate a significant milestone in our community's history, Delano's 105th anniversary, which will be celebrated throughout 2026. Delano has always been a vibrant community with a very, very deep pride in its heritage. Our trust me, I say this all
we know
the time,
what it is.
But it still trips up. Yeah. One of the events will be a town spelling bee for this word. it'll be a year-long celebration, a heartfelt tribute, including 150 ways to celebrate Delano throughout the year. It'll be an opportunity for the entire community, including our schools, businesses, churches, multiple local organizations, and residents to come together and celebrate the legacy we've built over the past 150 years and beyond. In addition to marking the 150 years, we'll also honor the Native American heritage that shaped our town and look forward to a bright future. It's also not just about Delano. This celebration will actually draw regional and even multi-state attention with significant economic impact, showcasing Delano's spirit of community to all. We've developed many initiatives that will commemorate the 150 years. I'll briefly walk you through some of these and how this funding would be used. The first would be a historic steam engine. This would be a spectacular event where the Milwaukee 261 steam engine will actually pass through Delano, highlighting our town's deep historical ties to the railroad. This thrilling experience will celebrate our roots and how the railroad really helped build Delano into what it is today. We've also commissioned a local author to write the book capturing stories, struggles, and triumphs of the Delano people and community. This book will be a lasting tribute to our town's history and a resource for future generations. We will interview longtime residents, capturing their memories and stories that have shaped Delano over the years. There's certain things that can be captured in a book, but there's also certain things that really take that get emotion that is required with an oral history. We will also have a beautifully designed calendar with historical images that will be mailed to every citizen in Delano. A main SQ.
Short.
We call it SQ in town. The main SQ event, this will really be the true celebration in October that'll have live events, the local community, arts, culture, really celebrating the spirit of community that Delano has. And of course, as the home of Minnesota's oldest and largest 4th of July celebration, we will be participating in the 25 and 2026 with a parade in the float honoring our 105th anniversary. On top of this, as I mentioned, we have many events for aiming for 150 ways, things like a Buy a Brick program where people can actually leave a lasting legacy in our sculpture park, a community mosaic program, new sculptures, a Love Delano dinner hosted by the Chamber of Commerce, additional historical events actually like such as organized field trips to some of the historical centers around town as well to deepen our community's connection to the past. With support of these legacy dollars, our community can bring these projects to life and ensure that our SQ celebration really reaches its full potential. This celebration is not just for Delano. As I've mentioned, especially things like the steam engine will capture not only the state, but also multi-state attention. It'll also celebrate our history, our present, and our future. Thank you, Representative McDonald, Chair, and committee members for your time, and we ask for your support for House Filing 2471 to help make this dream a reality.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, to your next.
Chair McDonald.
Mr. Chair and co-chair, thank you very much. And representatives, I'm Linda Althoff with the Delano Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm their executive director. I did include a letter of recommendation and support for our sesquicentennial celebration in 2026. Like my letter says, it will impact our community greatly. And if you have ever been to Delano for a 4th of July parade or fireworks, you know we can throw great events and draw lots of people into our community, which is a great economic stimulus, but also leaves a lasting impression for many people and creates those memories that families come and thrive on and want to experience over and over again. The railroad is a significant part of why Delano was created, and that is why it's very important to get the steam engine there. And I'm sure if any of you have worked with the railroad, you know how complicated this is. I've started this process earlier this year, and the good folks with the Friends of the 261 are helping us streamline this with the Burlington Northern, Amtrak, and our local community. So we're hoping to make this really come true on it. So it is going to be a great thing. So super excited about it. So thank you for letting me come today and share.
Thank you. Any questions? Any final?
Mr. Chair, words? As Ms. Althoff said, she's been working on the railroad a very long, long time. And we really hope that we can get that steam engine out to Delano, because that is the reason why the town was there. Of course, as you all know, in the history of our country, towns were kind of set up every, was it 30 miles or so, to depend on the water that the steam engines needed. And that's how a lot of the small towns out in western Minnesota and other areas around our country were developed, through both the river and through the railroad. So that's an important part. It's a kind of a big chunk of that $150,000 that we hope to have come out through the town in the next throughout 4 days of the year-long event. But we realize there's limited dollars available, and we would be very appreciative of whatever monies that it can be appropriated if we deem this to be so fortunate to have. And again, as Ms. Dierzik said, thousands of people will benefit through a whole year of programming through the town. So I think that's kind of the fun part of this particular bill, is that so many people throughout the whole year will be able to appreciate the 150 sesquicentennial, Ms. Dierzik, and enjoy the celebration. And we're very appreciative of the legacy, should they decide to include this in the bill. All right, maybe I'll have something to say about that with Rep. Vang, Chair Vang, right?
Is there anyone else in that wants to testify with this bill? Seeing none, thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm going to step out and say goodbye to my testifiers. So okay. If you would present the next bill, I'll be in short.
So we can't do the whole McDonald hat?
You can certainly do it.
Thank
this
you.
Is the legacy, music, art, culture.
Thank you.
And if Representative Lilly doesn't sing it, you will.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. You're late to the game. I already sang it.
Thank you. Next up is Representative Johnson's House File 1281. The Great Lakes Aquarium Sturgeon Project funding provided, and the folks. Yep. If you want to just start presenting your project and then let us know who's next and what goes on. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Vice Chair Scraba, and members of the committee here, Chair Vang. Please bring forward House File 1281, which supports a new conservation program at the Great Lakes Aquarium in Duluth. This initiative focuses on rearing lake sturgeon, a culturally significant and ecologically vital species that once thrived in the St. Louis River. For generations, lake sturgeon were an integral part in this watershed before their population collapsed due to pollution and habitat disruption. Despite decades of restoration efforts, they remain a species of special concern in Minnesota. This project builds on the ongoing work by state, tribal, and federal partners to restore genetically diverse juvenile sturgeon and reconnect them to their historic spawning grounds. Beyond its ecological impact, this program will also engage the public through an educational exhibit at the Great Lakes Aquarium, where visitors will learn about the species' life cycle, its cultural importance, particularly to indigenous communities, and the broader efforts to restore the St. Louis River. This initiative has regional significance, contributing to the health of Lake Superior's watershed while fostering partnerships across state, tribal, and federal agencies, and it represents a meaningful step forward to restoring a species deeply tied to our natural and cultural heritage. To speak more about this exciting initiative is Jay Walker, Executive Director of the Great Lakes Aquarium, and Eric Torvinen, Fisheries Program Manager with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa.
All right, thank you. Mr. Walker, you wanna go next?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
And thank you, Representative Scraba, and Co-Chair Vang, and members of the committee. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today, and thank you, Representative Johnson and Representative Scraba, for supporting House File 1281. As Representative Johnson said, I'm excited to introduce a new conservation program that the aquarium is developing with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, the Minnesota DNR, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Through this collaboration, the aquarium will help restore lake sturgeon by raising juveniles for reintroduction to the St. Louis River. A key component of this effort is a new exhibit that will serve as both an educational space and a working hatchery, providing critical support for sturgeon recovery. This exhibit will complement the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service streamside rearing trailer stationed and managed by the aquarium, which supplies fish for stocking programs led by the Minnesota DNR and the Fond du Lac Fisheries Program. Designed to immerse visitors in the story of the lake sturgeon conservation, the exhibit will showcase the development of these fish up close, highlight the importance of habitat restoration and species recovery while directly contributing to long-term population success. Funding for this exhibit will ensure its role in advancing conservation efforts while engaging the public in the future of the lake sturgeon. The new 1,300 square foot gallery will provide visitors with up-close look at sturgeon recovery with a flow-through life support system dedicated to hatching and raising these fish in their native waters of the St. Louis River. The system will closely mimic the sturgeon's natural habitat, increasing survival and reproduction. I'd like to ask Mr. Torvinen to give you a little bit more of the history on their culture and management.
Thank you, Mr. Torvinen.
Hello, my name is Eric Torvinen, and I'm the Fisheries Program Manager for the Fond du Lac Band. Our Lake Sturgeon Restoration Project is a unique and wonderful story all in itself. Beginning in 1998, Fond du Lac Resource Management initiated a sturgeon stocking and restoration program in the upper St. Louis River, directly adjacent to our reservation. And like, let me tell you, it was at that time not expected to succeed. And to make a long and relatively wild story short, it did. And we now have an adult lake sturgeon population swimming in the upper St. Louis River. However, because of population level and genetic considerations, stocking must continue. For a variety of reasons, stocking has been sporadic. It is expected that this newly formed partnership between the Fond du Lac Band and the Great Lakes Aquarium, stocking consistency will improve while providing juvenile sturgeon from a localized water source. This is ecologically important for fish that migrate or stray. But perhaps more important is the forward-facing outreach opportunities this partnership can provide. Most people are not even aware that the Fond du Lac Band has a resource management department, much less an increasingly successful sturgeon restoration project. Fond du Lac hopes to utilize this opportunity both to tell the story of the sturgeon restoration project while sharing the cultural significance of Lake Sturgeon to the Fond du Lac Band. Lake sturgeon are a unique, culturally relevant fish, and this restoration project is one of those kind of rare natural resource success stories. And this story deserves to be told, hopefully through a multi-agency partnership, including the Fond du Lac Band and the Great Lakes Aquarium.
Thank you. Anything else?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Representative Scraba. As Mr. Torvin said, lake sturgeon are vital to our region's ecological and cultural history. And at the Great Lakes Aquarium, visitors will witness their conservation in action. But beyond the biological story, this gallery will immerse guests in the rich history of the St. Louis River and the lake sturgeon. At its heart, this exhibit is about the cultural significance of the lake sturgeon. An interactive timeline will highlight the river's restoration programs, progress, and dynamic partnerships that have made it possible. Visitors will be encouraged to see their role in community-driven conservation efforts. And furthermore, Fond du Lac band members will contribute art, stories, and science, ensuring that their voices are central to this narrative. Their current and historic work in sturgeon conservation will be woven throughout the exhibit and facility-wide programming, including school groups and outreach efforts. The aquarium will leverage its existing educational framework to engage the public with this conservation work inside and outside of the facility. Interpretive signs and interactive media will provide unique entry points to raise awareness about lake sturgeon ecology, highlight the importance of wildlife restoration and St. Louis River rehabilitation, and emphasize the reestablishment of a culturally significant species. Quick note I didn't mention here, but St. Louis River is the largest estuary on the Great Lakes, which is pretty impressive that we have that as part of our state. The aquarium is requesting $750,000 from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund in fiscal year 2026 to support the development of this exhibit. By investing in this project, we are not only contributing to the recovery of a native species, but also strengthening partnerships with the Minnesota DNR and the Fond du Lac Band. We're also encouraging community involvement in conservation activities, fostering collective commitment to preserving our shared natural history. We appreciate your time and consideration and welcome any questions that you may have.
All right. Is there anyone in the room that wants to add to this? Seeing none, do you guys have anything else? Any questions from the members? I'm sorry, I got Chair Vang, Representative Lilly, and who else? That's it? Okay, go ahead, Chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess two quick questions then. Are you guys currently looking for other sources of funding or applying to right now?
Yeah, Representative Scraba, Co-Chair Vang, yes, we are seeking other sources. The total project budget is $1.7 million. And so this, the funding that we're requesting today is specific for the exhibit side of this program. So other sources that we have some that are pending right now. We have $550,000 in grant support that's pending, and we have secured $300,000. And the rest that we will be seeking throughout the throughout this fiscal year.
Mr. Chair, and then I know you mentioned a couple of uses for this. So how much is it for stocking the lake sturgeon, and then how much is it for the exhibit?
Representative Scraba and Co-Chair Vang, that was an excellent question. We actually will be, I think if I'm catching you right, we'll be raising 3,500 fish. 2,000 of those fish will be used for stocking in the lower St. Louis by the Minnesota DNR, and 1,500 will be used with the Fond du Lac Band of Fisheries for upper St. Louis River. We'll plan to keep 100 of those back. That's a big part of this story, is to have 100 of these fish on exhibit that people can see, where we'll raise them for an additional year. So when we have the eggs hatch in, help me out here, Eric, May, April, something to that effect, we will raise them until October when they reach 7 inches, which is a big part of how big we need them to release into the water. But we'll keep back another year where they'll grow to double that size and increase their survivability even more.
Mr. Chair. Sorry, I should be more clear in my question. That's helpful to know, but in terms of the funding, like how much of the funding is for stocking, how much is for the exhibit?
Oh, yeah. All right. Representative Scraba and Co-Chair Vang, thank you. That is a great question. So the total for the exhibit is $775,000, and then the rest of that is for the stocking program, or for the rearing facility.
All right, thank you, Chair. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Johnson, thank you for bringing this. This committee's been a great partner with the aquarium, and you've been a great partner with the programming that you've done in the past up there, and it's pretty impressive. A couple of us have been on there on tours, and you're for capital investment, and yeah. And you're really smart, because you close the windows for us people that get distracted, so we don't start watching the ships out there, and you know, you have a great meeting room. That's always kind of fun. But anyways, I just kind of want to tout, I mean, I think this is a great story you want to tell, but you know, this committee's been doing work in this space for the, you know, we're in our 15th year, but Lessard Sams has really invested just a ton of funds in cleaning up the St. Louis River and the state of Minnesota, but especially through this committee. And it's turned it into a world-class, like you mentioned, with the sturgeon. There's muskies in there that are incredible. I've not caught one, but I've seen the pictures. They're monsters. So, but it's world-class. People literally fly in to fish up there, and but just the cleaning up and restoration. So I'm glad you're telling that story. I'm not sure this is quite the right path myself, but I'm just one vote. But I would certainly like you to look at capital investment as well, because I think the idea is very sound, but certainly the programming is wonderful. But anyways, thank you for coming, and just know that this committee has done some really historic work up there.
All right, anything else you want to close, Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Chair, members. Thank you for considering House File 1218. Or 1281. It represents an important step in restoring those sturgeon to the St. Louis River. This initiative not only strengthens conservation efforts, but also engages the public in understanding that ecological and cultural significance of the species. And to Representative Lilly's point, if you haven't had a chance to check out the aquarium up there, they do a great job of showcasing a lot of the different species and things that we experience there in northeastern Minnesota. And I do agree with Chair McDonald's point that it is probably one of the most beautiful areas of the state. So please, if you haven't checked it out, please do so. Appreciate your consideration in this going forward. And if you have any questions, please reach out and let me know.
Do you want to ask? Go ahead. Is this your first time at the committee?
Sorry. Do you know the rules?
You know the rules. Of the
this comes from your side now.
Thank you, Chair Scraba, Co-Chair Scraba. I did not get the rules beforehand. But the point made earlier about Betty's Pies, I believe that might be in your district, if I'm
it
not
is.
Mistaken.
It is in my district. You guys can buy it.
Maybe we can work together
it.
And get some get some pies down here for the members of the district and, yeah. and showcase some more of the gems up there in Lake County. So thank you. Right.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to move on. Do you want to come over here, Chair? Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Scraba. Well, good news, team. Next week or the following, perhaps next week, Representative Scraba will have a bill. And since he represents Betty's Pies, we expect nothing but the best. Okay, last we have Representative Zhang, House File 1631. And House File 1631 we have three testifiers as well. So, Representative Zhang, when you are ready. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the committee. Representative Zhang, you have a House File 1631 for clues. So for the record, as a fellow team member, you may introduce yourself and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jay Shong. Good morning, members of the committee. Just wanted to thank you for the opportunity. I'm here today to present House File 1631, a bill that supports cultural and artistic work of the organization Clues, which is in my district. Clues is one of the largest Latino-led organizations in Minnesota. For the last 45 years, Clues has been a pillar of economic prosperity and community wellness for the Latino communities here in the Twin Cities. And more recently in greater Minnesota, their work is rooted in the belief that culture is healing. And so this philosophy is at the heart of their programs, which uplift Latino artists, preserve cultural heritage, and foster intergenerational connections through gallery exhibits, art education workshops, and vibrant community festivals. A legacy appropriation will allow Clues to sustain and expand transformational work, meeting the growing demand of culturally specific arts programming across the state, whether through showcasing local Latino artists, providing hands-on learning experiences of young people, or hosting events that bring entire communities together. Clues ensures that Minnesota's Latino heritage is celebrated and shared. And with me today is some testifiers who are doing this work.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Zhang. We have with us today Ms. Lee and Ms. Manzoni and Ms. Gardillo, the artist. Now, good to all see you, all three of you again. You may proceed for the record, your name, and you may proceed with your presentation.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Ruby Lee. I'm president of Comunidades Latinas Unidas en Servicio Clues. Thank you, Chair McDonald and Chair Vang and members of the committee for hearing our presentation. Our appreciation to Representative Jay Shong for his ongoing support of our work and for authoring House File 1631. Our 45-year-old organization provides holistic, multigenerational health and socioeconomic services to over 40,000 people annually through services and events. We have offices in the east side of St. Paul, Lake Street, Minneapolis, Austin, and Wilmer. At Clues, we understand that besides advancing social and economic drivers for our community, we are uniquely qualified to celebrate our diverse cultures and foster a sense of belonging for many in our community. We live our mission by delivering daily on our motto, La Cultura Cura, our culture heals, as we believe that cultural engagement brings us together in unique ways and gives us a form of expression that rebuilds the soul and the spirit. Thanks to a half a million dollar appropriation from the Legacy Fund in 2023, we have been able to foster cultural engagement and community celebrations that bring people together, provide a different form of expression through artistry and cultural celebration. Legacy funds are publicly acknowledged at every event. Minnesota's Latino population today is over 350,000 people who are dispersed throughout the state. Increased funding from the Legacy Fund through House File 1361 will help us expand cultural programming that celebrates and preserves our cultural heritage. Our Director of Arts will conclude with more testimony.
Thank you
very
so
good.
Much.
Thank you, Ms. Lee.
Yes, thank you so much, Chair McDonald, members of the committee. I'm Dr. Carla Manzoni. I'm the Director of Arts and Cultural Engagement at CLUS. With CLUS now serving 45,000 Latinos in 2024, we know what our community needs, and we also believe that culture heals you. Our work is led by a team of culture-specific educators, and we infuse art and culture to boost wellness, economic development, community building, and intergenerational education. The numbers of 2024 are really astounding. We had over 2,000 people visit our CLUS gallery, 16,000 people participate in our culture-specific programs. We engaged more than 50 artists, 2,350 people attended our 12 educational workshops, and we have over 20,000 people in foot traffic in our building. Many of them go to our gallery in our lobby, and for many, many of them, it is the first time ever they walk into an art gallery. Our cultural-specific programs are centered on accessibility, empowerment, and empathy. I ask you to support the House File 1631 to fund us through 2027. With continued support, we will expand programming to new audiences and meet the demand in greater Minnesota. What we are planning, travel exhibits, digital gallery shows, educational retooling, and materials. This funding will also allow CLUS to emphasize Latino heritage by developing programs that are community-based and research-informed. We take art to the public spaces and community festivals, supporting Latino artists to gain new tools through professional development, art commissioning, exhibitions, business development to help them reach broader audiences. Recently, we had 300 people attend our Women's Month opening exhibition for the Connective Thread show by artist Adriana Gordillo, right next to me. And I invited her to share with you her experience working with us. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Marzoni. And Ms. Gordillo, you may introduce yourself for the record and present your presentation.
Good day, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Adriana Gordillo, and I am a Latina artist, poet, and Spanish educator. My art explores how women challenge the ideas that hurt us and continue weaving the ones that help us thrive. As an emerging yet middle-aged Latina artist, finding opportunities to have a solo exhibit is not easy. But because CLUS is an institution driven by Latinos for Latinos, they saw the cultural and intergenerational potential of my work. I can reach an astonishing amount of people with my art because it is exhibited at CLUS. People running errands in the neighborhood stopped by as I was installing the exhibit, so I was able to be in contact with my community from the get-go. CLUS also gave me access to new and broader audiences as they created bilingual materials for my art in Spanish and English. Exhibiting my work at CLUS has allowed me to connect with my community, build new networks, and continue growing my creative and educational work so we can thrive together. Finally, I'd like to invite you to the exhibit and to visit CLUS' beautiful space so you can experience for yourselves the connective power of this institution and see how when CLUS supports Latino artists, all Minnesotans grow. Thank you so much for your time and your...
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Gordillo.
Thank you.
Members, any questions? Representative Hussein.
Representative Dejean and CLUS community, I have visited last summer, and you guys are doing a wonderful job. This is a good program. If you haven't been there, they host us every summer at Metro State, right next to the building Latino Community Center, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a beautiful and diverse, and I seen a lot of kids that full of house that participating for the technology and arts and culture also. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Ms. Lee?
Just wanted to say thank you to Representative Hussein for visiting and certainly expand the invitation to all of you. And thank you so much for giving us the time.
You're very welcome. Representative Zhejiang, any closing thoughts?
Again, thank you, Chair Zvang and Chair Co-Chair McDonald and members of the committee for allowing me to present this bill today. Respectfully ask that House File 1631 is supported so that Coos can continue to do this important work, reaching new audiences and strengthening our communities through the power of culture and art. Thank you very much for the time.
You're very welcome. Thank you. That concludes our hearing for today, but before we adjourn, announcement, we have two more hearings left, and we've added a hearing for next week, and that'll be April 1st. Now, we're on break on Friday and through Monday, and then we come back on Tuesday. So we will have an extra hearing on the April 1st at 5 o'clock in this room, right, Ms. Zipko? We're not sure yet which room. April Co-Chair Vang? Anything to add?
Co-Chair McDonald, I think I've still yet to respond on whether we will on an extra hearing yet. So it might be a little bit premature, but I think we're very close to finalizing that decision.
Very good, Co-Chair Vang. It's too late. It's the cat's out of the bag. Yeah. Don't worry. Things will be good. We have many bills to hear and limited time, so we're going to do a 50-50 swap next week. And Co-Chair Vang, things are good. Any other business before this body? If not, this meeting is adjourned.